Hello, and we're back with Unusual Sources. This is Peter Leibovich along with Brendan Stone on CFMU 93.3. For our listeners from Taxi Talk, I hope you're staying on the line because we have a special guest, Zafar Bangash from Toronto Muslim Media. Muslim Media, right?
That's correct. You are Crescent International now, actually.
Crescent International.
Yeah.
Yes. Zafar, we should get right to the meat of the matter. There's been a lot of developments over the last couple of weeks, obviously with the attack on the flotilla and the reaction of the world, which sort of reacted in horror, except for Harper and Obama.
Yes.
It seems that we're getting into a sea change in terms of the way people are looking at the Gaza and the blockade.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, what happened in the last several years is that more and more people around the world have come to realize the brutalities of the state of Israel. And I must say that increasingly many people of the Jewish faith have also joined in the condemnation of Israel's behavior towards the Palestinian people. And this is a very gratifying development because it gives a lie to the Israeli or Zionist propaganda and the propaganda of their blind supporters that any criticism of Israel is immediately anti-Semitism. So we find that increasing number of good-meaning and noble people of the Jewish faith are also joining this campaign. And as I said, in the last several years, this is now becoming obvious that Israeli policies are completely untenable. And the latest straw in this was this a military attack, the naval attack on a peaceful flotilla that was carrying food and baby formula milk and diapers and rice and sugar and grain to the besieged people in Gaza. And for some strange reason, the Israeli argument was that these things are a threat to Israel's existence. I mean, you know, it is so ludicrous that the fourth strongest military machine in the world would be scared of baby milk formula and baby's diapers. I mean, this is absolutely incredible. But what the Israeli Navy did in its attack on these peace flotilla boats, in attacking them in the middle of the night in international waters and killing nine of them in cold blood. In fact, we have now seen the autopsy reports. Some of these people were shot at point blank range at least 30 times. And so we are beginning to see exactly what is taking place. And one final point that I'd like to add in this is that Israel has, of course, tried to confiscate the film footage because there were at least 68 journalists from around the world on those peace or freedom flotillas who recorded all the incidents, and they in fact captured exactly what took place. And Israel has refused to allow that, although some of those journalists were able to send their footage out before the Israelis were able to confiscate their video footage. And one of them, of course, is the U.S. filmmaker Ayara Lee, who actually appeared on Freedom Now in the U.S. and has been invited to speak in New York tomorrow. And we hope that this kind of information would come out and would show that the Israelis attacked a peaceful flotilla in international waters, perpetrating a war crime, and among the people who were killed was an American of Turkish origin who was born in New York, in Troy, New York, a 19-year-old young man, Furkan Dogan, who was killed by the Israelis. And as you said, regrettably, both the U.S. government as well as the Canadian government have been apologizing for trying to justify Israeli crimes rather than condemning them when the rest of the world is condemning these crimes.
Yeah, to focus in a little bit about sort of the domestic reaction and the politics that are occurring domestically as a result of it, I guess there's also all sorts of people are being sideswiped. We just got into a little fight that occurred around the MP, the NDP MP, Libby Davis from Vancouver Centre, who has been pretty outspoken in her support of Palestinian rights and against the blockade in Gaza. She got, it seems like, set up with one of these videographers who comes right into your face and asks you questions. Although I would tell people to take a look at her response to the questions. It's nothing like what they're saying her response is. She was definitely a little bit... She definitely didn't trust the guy who was answering the questions and kept on saying, you know, she didn't want to get into the details of it, but that it was an occupation.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, as you mentioned, this appeared to be a trap that was set up for Libby Davis, and this is now becoming fashionable because pro-Zionist supporters unable to talk to people one-on-one and openly, they come through this surreptitious manner. The same thing happened to Helen Thomas, that veteran New York journalist who was, in an unguarded moment, and she thought that this was going to be a friendly chat with somebody, that she was trapped into this. And now we see that the same thing happened with Libby Davis. And as you mentioned, this was somebody with a camcorder sort of, asking questions. When Libby Davis was asked about when do you believe that the occupation in Israel started, in 1948 or 1967? So, Libby actually appeared quite perplexed, and then she answered 1948. I mean, in the sense that if you reflect on that, when Israel came into existence, the territory that was allocated to Israel in 1948 is not what Israel actually occupied. It went and expanded immediately, and it carried out. I mean, it is well established. People like Menachem Begin and Yitzhak Shamir and so on, these people were well-known terrorists. They went around terrorizing Palestinian villagers. Deir Yassin is a well-known place in Palestinian history in which innocent women and children were brutally murdered. Some of them, their bodies were thrown in wells and so on. And this was a deliberate campaign to terrorize the people, to drive them out of those villages so that the Zionists could come and occupy those places. And so that was, Libby's response. But then later on, she actually said, she clarified this on her web posting. And let me read it to you. In fact, it's right in front of me. She said, "My reference to the year 1948 as the beginning of the Israeli occupation of Palestinian territory was a serious and completely inadvertent error. I apologize for this and regret any confusion it has caused. I have always supported a two-state solution to the ongoing Israeli-Palestinian conflict and have never questioned Israel's right to exist and the Palestinians' right to a viable state." Now, you can see that the manner in which people like Harper and others have, Bob Ray, who have tried to twist Libby's answers, is quite low, quite honestly. I must say that each time somebody turns around to make a statement that is even mildly critical of Israeli behavior, then two questions are immediately thrown up, or two allegations. Number one, that the person making any critical statement of Israeli behavior must be an anti-Semite. And number two, that the person must deny Israel's right to exist, and therefore they want to destroy the state of Israel. Nothing of that sort has been said or done by anybody, neither by Libby nor by anybody else. And yet we see these kinds of underhand tactics being used, which are essentially designed to stifle any criticism of Israeli behavior. Now, the real issue at the present time is the atrocious behavior of the Israeli government, which is indulging in state terrorism by attacking boats and ships, carrying nothing more than food and toys to besieged Palestinian people in Gaza, and yet that is somehow ignored completely, and the argument is twisted and turned into something else, as if Israel's right to exist is being questioned.
I saw Bob Ray's statements demanding that Jack Layton remove Libby as an official of the party, and that she should resign from the deputy leader in the party. And I was thinking the irony of it all. Here is Bob Ray, who comes from a family with power and with privilege, attacking a distinguished woman MP who's championed all her life the poor, the oppressed, women's issues, issues of homelessness. I mean, she represents the poorest riding in British Columbia, one of the poorest ridings in all of Canada. And she's steadfastly stood on the side of the weak, of the poor, of the oppressed, and to besmirch her reputation this way, it just shows the arrogance of power, where people like Harper and Ray, who just hang on the coattails of the elite, are attacking a woman who has always been courageous in her stance.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, as you rightly pointed out, it is completely unacceptable for people like Harper and Bob Ray to be attacking Libby Davis. I mean, Harper and Ray come from very privileged background, and Libby Davis has a very distinguished record of speaking out on behalf of the marginalized people in Canadian society. And instead of addressing the real issues, I mean, we can extend this whole argument. In Canada, for instance, the rate of unemployment is going up. The soup kitchens are expanding. The number of people visiting food banks is increasing. The number of homeless people is increasing. And yet here is Stephen Harper, who can throw $1 billion on a three-day event, a total extravaganza, at which what is referred to as a G20 summit, to invite people for 3 days and turn Toronto into a Guantanamo Bay-type prison in which the citizens of Toronto and citizens of Canada are barred from accessing various places in Toronto. And, they're going to be whining and dining over there to tell us that these people are going to institute fiscally responsible policies. Now, throwing $1 billion away at that kind of a, extravaganza is absolutely unacceptable. And yet, these are the kinds of people who are condemning an honorable person like Libby Davis, who stands for the oppressed, who stands for the marginalized people, who speaks out on behalf of the poor and the lower segments of society. And these people who do so come from such privileged backgrounds. I mean, it is outrageous, quite honestly, that this kind of a situation exists, and that they think that they can get away with it, or they think that the Canadian population is unaware of these things. But I personally have great faith in the Canadian people. I know that they understand the situation both in Canada as well as in Palestine, and the oppression of the Palestinian people. And that's why there were three Canadians on that peace flotilla. They participated in that, and they have themselves given interviews and narrated exactly how terrible the situation was, how brutally the Israeli commandos attacked and shot at people. In fact, the oldest person that they had killed was a 68-year-old Turkish by the name of Ibrahim Bilgen. Now, you can see that the Israelis just didn't care for these peace activists. Incidentally, they also included Edward Peck, a former American ambassador who's 75 years old. There was this Irish lady, Ms. McGuire, who's a Nobel Peace Prize winner. She was there. There were a number of MPs from Sweden as well as from Ireland and other places. I mean, there were representatives of about 35 countries on those boats who wanted to do nothing more than deliver humanitarian aid. And yet, when people speak in support of them or criticize Israeli brutality, then all kinds of allegations are hurled at them to actually change the subject from Israeli crimes to statements that people would make that would be critical of Israel's atrocious behavior.
Well, it seems to me that there's a process of what do you call it, ostentation here that they don't want to deal with what Israel did, but they want to deal. They want to put the debate back into the question of anti-Semitism and of course fan the flames of anti-Muslim or Islamophobia.
Exactly. I just want to add this point that I'm very grateful that in all these rallies and so on that we have our brothers and sisters from the Jewish community standing shoulder to shoulder with us and with other Canadians. It's not just Muslims or Arabs that are concerned. This issue, as I said, is now reaching to much deeper depths in the Canadian society. And the fact that members of the Jewish community are there to raise their voices in support of the suffering Palestinian people exposes the lie of these Israel supporters who allege that any criticism of Israel is anti-Semitism. And as you said, they're trying to turn this argument away from Israel's behavior and the crimes that Israel has perpetrated to begin to change the debate and try to make it into an issue of anti-Semitism. But, gratefully, we have our Jewish brothers and sisters standing shoulder and shoulder with us and raising their voices, their conscientious voices for the rights of the Palestinian people. And this is what all decent people ought to do. And I'm glad that these numbers are increasing throughout Canada. And it's a very encouraging sign that people are becoming more aware of the reality and they are beginning to speak out as they should.
Well, I wanted to, in dealing with the question of anti-Semitism, I'm sorry, I'm just checking our time here. I'm not standing right in front of it. We still got a couple of minutes. In dealing with the question of anti-Semitism, and I had brought up the question of switching the debate to Islam and Islamophobia, I want to deal with what I'm seeing as a development both in Canada and in the West, period. In Holland, a very right-wing Muslim party just got 21 seats in parliament and picked up about 15-20% of the vote. There's been a growth in ultra right wing parties in Europe, and we have a steady drumbeat from places like the National Post who keep on attacking Muslims as being misogynist, anti-women, and now we have this some unfortunate child gets murdered by her parents, and that becomes a question of Islam, domestic murders happen in every culture, and in every in every nationality, but yet there's this special treatment, and the Muslims are being treated like the outsiders. And I would suggest to people who want to really examine what anti-Semitism is they should read the journals of the 30s in Canada and in Europe and see the development at the same kind of rhetoric used against Jews are now being used against Muslims, of being outsiders, of being involved in ritual killings, of having strange behaviors. I can show you the pages in the Toronto Star and a Telegram attacking Jews or criticizing Jews. It seems to me that kind of fascism or that kind of ideology is permeating, except now the victims are Muslims.
Yes, exactly. Isn't it incredible that, regrettably, over these decades and virtually centuries, that the kind of rhetoric that is used, the kind of hatred that is generated, hysterical hatred against identifiable groups, as you said, in the 30s, this media was indulging in this kind of a behavior against Jewish people, and now Muslims have become the target of the same hateful campaign. I mean, you mentioned about Islamophobia and this issue of this young girl, 16-year-old girl, who was murdered by her father and brother. A horrible crime, and everybody should condemn that. But I think it is, you know, it is important to keep in mind that, those kinds of incidents have nothing to do with religion per se. I mean, you know, for instance, we knew early last year there was a case of this Nova Scotia woman who murdered her 12-year-old daughter because her boyfriend did not want the daughter to get in the way, and so she murdered her 12-year-old daughter and then took her body, you know, dumped it in the car trunk and dumped it somewhere in the forest. Now, would one say that Christianity supports that kind of behavior? Of course not. Nobody would, you know.
I'm sure ministers are not getting called in, for news to explain why Christianity allows the killing of children.
Exactly. But yet when there is a case of any Muslim who indulges in a crime, it's a crime and it should be dealt according to that, rather than, immediately bringing somebody's religion into it. And that is where, as you said, Islamophobia is deliberately being propagated, because any incident that occurs in which a Muslim is involved, then that has to do with his religion. But if there is somebody who commits a crime who belongs to some other religion, then religion is not mentioned over there. So it is a deliberate attempt to malign Islam, to malign Muslims, and to show them in a negative light. Again, as I said, if anybody commits a crime, regardless of who he or she may be, whether they are Muslims or Christians or Jews or Hindus or whatever, religion has nothing to do with it. They should be dealt with according to the law. A crime is a crime. It should be dealt accordingly. It should not be swept under the rug. The full force of the law must be applied against them. But to bring somebody's religion into it is a deliberate attempt to target that religion, to malign that religion, and to spread hatred against an identifiable group. And at this time, regrettably, the target is Muslims and their religion, Islam.
And that's why people, progressive people from all religions, are now uniting and standing up for change. As you were saying before, many people are seeing through it. I mean, yes, I know the other side has all the power, all the money, all the press and everything else, but the fact is that more and more people are seeing through these kinds of lies, and also the and this kind of racist justification for us to, you know, justify wars and occupations that are completely illegal and immoral.
Yeah, exactly. I just want to add one other point. You know, there was a news item today that in Germany, the Jewish community in Germany were organizing a boat to take food to the people of Gaza. And this is the Jewish community in Germany. When word got around, so many Jewish people in Germany volunteered to join this peace flotilla, that they now have to get a second boat to accommodate the people to go to Gaza to take food. I mean, this is the kind of, linkage, and this is the kind of brotherhood that needs to be demonstrated to show to people that people of all faiths, the overwhelming majority of people of all faiths, are decent, good people, compassionate people, and they understand the nature of the struggle that we are involved in, the wars that are being waged against innocent people, and that we need to stand up and speak out against these kinds of atrocities that are being perpetrated everywhere. So Canadians should be spreading compassion rather than conflict, and we should be reaching out to people and to be joining hands with others to see that fairness and justice prevails rather than conflict that benefits, of course, the elites and the well-to-do and the privileged few.
Well, Zafar, as always, very instructive, and it's great to hear from you. Thank you for being on the program.
Thank you. Thank you.
And to read your Crescent International, what's your web?
It's crescent-online.net.
That's crescent-online.net.
That is correct, yeah.
And that's Zafar Bangash.
And we also do a daily update, so they'll be able to read some of the stories that are occurring and breaking news instead of the monthly news section.
Well, it's places to go that people like yourself are putting in the real news so that people have a chance to see beyond the mainstream media.
Well, we hope so, yes.
Okay, and also you can listen to Unusual Sources.
Excellent, that's right, yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're most welcome. Bye-bye.